There are so many conundrums every day on the mainframe media that I can't keep up with selecting the most absurd ones for making fun of. Hi, I'm Martin, and this is Kaput Radio. There is the regional new campaign to raise state revenue on fining drivers on our miserable road system with traffic cops. Not only does that suck, Mr. Premier, but it is not very efficient. Now, that is your language, Mr. O'Farrell. Productivity gains, all in the familiar neoclassical mantra of your conviction, sir. So I suggest to you, Mr. Premier, you could be raising about 10 times as much revenue with in the same number of officers on revenue duty call and in the same given time if you victimized pedestrians who exceed a 5 km/h speed limit. But you are probably too stupid to recognize your own neoliberal shortcomings of a real conservative, sir. Welcome to the show.
To activate telephone service at this location, please contact your local service provider of choice. Thank you.
Then we have the irritations of Australian telcos. When you want to buy a mobile phone in this country, you not only have to pay upfront around $50 before you can read the contract you are about to enter. Now, if you don't like the deal, you have just lost $50. Bad luck, man. If you want to enter the contract, you only get a few megabytes of data unless you upfront another $50 lasting for approximately 1 month for just normal phone operations. However, it is not only the money you have to stuff into the telco mafia, but they want a personal ID, such as your driver license details or your pension number or other sensitive information of you before you can use the newly acquired device. My neighbor had to travel 3 times in 1 week to the regional town, 45 kilometers away, to get the phone he bought to work. And reason wasn't technical. It was some nightmarish Kafkaesque 19th century bureaucratic nonsense. Not only will he run risk to lose private information from his phone, which is so easy to hack into these days, but he will get spammed, the wireless net connection is a joke, and the pricing of Australian telco products and service is approximately 30% higher than in any other OECD country. Which brings me to the constant mourning of the ailing retail industry of this country.
Soon, millions of Australians paying the carbon tax will get additional help with their everyday expenses, like the carbon tax. It's the first part of the Australian government's carbon tax sweetener. An initial frightening price hike will automatically appear in your power bills from July 2012. These massive power price increases will become a regular part of your crippling debt between July this year and early 2014. The Household Assistance Package. It's about the carbon tax.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra. Spoken by R. Hammond and S. McAuliffe.
You know, Mrs. Macklin, Minister for Services, etc., the products in the shop, the telco service value for the clients, are just not good enough to waste scarce cash on. I know, Minister, you have sent us all the letters screaming to us to spend the goddamn handout on the slow lane economy like retail and telcos. But did you know that people aren't that stupid anymore? They can see crap when the product or service is crap, okay? And that's the point, dear Minister. If the second lane in our economy is slow, then you must ask yourself why the industry doesn't bring in the new products, the quality services, and generally makes an effort to come into the 21st century of shopping. Customers are quite prepared to pay a fair price for a fair product or service. That is a timeless experience. So, Minister, throw the book at the industry, will you? Of course, the mind-numbing nonsense on the economy deserves a chuckle. When politicians talk about cutting spending, not wasting money, especially taxpayers' money. What? What is taxpayers' money? I suppose they just want to hide the total cognitive dissonance when it comes to debt finance and its antics. All the government expenditure is taxpayers' money, man. Which was profit in form of very little wages for worker, better salaries for employers and for bosses' bonus packages, and hardly any company taxes. So in other words, there is only taxpayers' money to play with. But what it really all means is the fact that they can only pass around the scarcity of money from one department to another. They never question the fact of scarcity itself, which produces all this misery in the first place. No tax, no government, no laws, in short, no country, teabaggers.
Would you like to be more specific about what the unemployment rate would be like at the end of your first year?
I can't possibly predict precisely what the unemployment rate will be at the end of 1 year. I can tell you that over a period of 4 years, by virtue of the policies that we put in place, we get the unemployment rate down to 6% or a little lower. Depends in part upon the rate of growth of the globe, as well as what we're seeing here in the United States. But we get the rate down quite substantially. And frankly,
there you go.
And one more thing, Mr. Romney, when you start creating all these new jobs as president, don't forget to translate the contracts into Chinese, Portuguese, and other Asian languages. The new workers and employees will be grateful by understanding the contract so much easier. And while I'm with the presidential subject matter, I may mention Michelle Obama, the incumbent first lady, the one and only wife of Barack Obama, talking to the proprietors of Disney Corporation to cease with junk food advertising. Now, that's good news for the kiddies, and I can see it coming. Michelle, the one and only wife of the president. Yeah, one has to emphasize that since during the recent months of Republican campaigning for the president, the marital questions were, let's say, questionable at the least. Coming back to Michelle, the only one, only wife. Okay. She says, "Yo, mama says, no more fizzy sugary, no more fatty buggery. Mama said to eat the green, the fruit and bean. Mama says I'm too fat myself, but kiddies can look like elves."
I'm number one, the star of the show. In Britain, let's face it, in terms of status, there's no further to go. I guess I've made it. Yes, I'm riding high. You can see me on telly at Christmas. Off the bridge over the River Kwai, and I'll go on and on and on and on and be all the boys' family by 10. And we'll keep on ruling till the end. We are the Windsors. We are the Majesties. No time for Princess Michael. I'm big in Japan. I'm huge in the States. My face is on stamps and coins and mugs and postcards and plates. I shake lots of hands. I say how to do's. You'll probably see me opening something in the amusing bit at the end of.
On another note, and from a different country, came the British Queen's Diamond Jubilee. 60 years uninterrupted service, they said. Service? What service? You know, I don't hate the royals. I just hate Queen Elizabeth. She is one cruel, wisecracking queen to hold off her son from ascending to the throne for all these years. Wise to avoid a really short reign with follow-up complications, and to avoid the crazy notions of her son becoming public, such as saving the blue-yellow Lower Nile duck from starving peasants in Sudan and rescuing architecture of the best kind, or saving the planet from overpopulation by killing a lot, as long as they're brown or dark-skinned. And there are embarrassing connections to Nazi Germany, then later to West Germany, and now still to Germany. Germans are equally embarrassed and don't like to talk about it.
They're coming. Now we'll see how these Russians deal with a crack SS division.
Hans?
Take heart, my friend.
Hans, I've just noticed something.
These communists are all cowards.
Yeah, have you looked at our caps recently?
Our caps?
Yeah, the badges on our caps. Have you looked at them?
No, a bit. What?
They've got skulls on them.
Hmm?
Have you noticed that the little badges on our caps have actually got pictures of skulls on them?
I don't,
Hans, are we the baddies?
Of course we're not the baddies. What we're doing is entirely just. We're fighting for the future of Germany against the communists and the decadent Western powers who betrayed us at Versailles.
Yeah, that does sound just.
Of course.
Yeah. But On the other hand, and sorry to go back to it, but we have got little pictures of skulls on our SS caps, and that just seems very much the sort of motif you'd associate with a baddie.
I'm not with you.
Well, I mean, what do skulls make you think of? Death, beheading, cannibals, pirates?
Pirates are fun!
I didn't say we weren't fun, but fun or not, pirates are still the baddies. I just can't think of anything good about a skull.
What about pure Aryan skull shape?
Even that is more usually depicted with the skin still on. Whereas the Allies...
Oh, you haven't been listening to Allied propaganda. Of course they're going to say we're the baddies.
Yeah, but they didn't get to design our uniforms. And their symbols are all, you know, quite nice. Stars, stripes, lions, sickles.
What's so great about sickles?
Well, nothing. And if there's one thing we've learned in the last 1,000 miles of retreat, it's that Russian agriculture is in dire need of mechanisation.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But still, you've got to say, it's better than a skull. I mean, I can't think of anything worse as a symbol than a skull.
A rat's anus?
Yeah, and if we were fighting an army marching under the banner of a rat's anus, I'd probably be a lot less worried, Hans.
Eric, why are you worrying about badges and symbols? They're not important.
Well, you know how they say that history is written by the victors, so that their symbols will be remembered in a positive way and their defeated enemies in a bad way? Well, I'm just a bit worried that if the Allies win, we've kind of done quite a lot of that work for them already, with the skulls.
Yeah, and the rat's anus people are really screwed.
As we've discussed, they don't exist.
Oh, yeah. So where's all this leading?
Well, you know how at the beginning of the war, we did really well, and the Allies nearly lost, but now things seem to be going a lot better for them.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever seen a film?
What's your point?
Well, I have never seen a film where the goodies start off really successfully, really nearly achieve their goals, but then the baddies come back very strongly, but the goodies still eventually win. Whereas I have seen a lot of films where the baddies start off really successfully, but then the goodies come back and eventually win. I'm just increasingly uncomfortable about our place in the narrative structure of this war.
But let others make their plea for the Queen. Here is Deke Jackson, a little bit cleaned up by me, so authorities don't just bust him for sedition right away.
Is it just me? Or would anybody else like to fuck the Queen? I don't mean in the political revolutionary sense, like chop her head off and stick it on a pole. Although, no, I mean fuck her. Give her a good old shagging. Not that I find her attractive in any way at all. Honestly, no. It's just, well, queens, you know, that's what happens to them. The queen of the hive mates with one of the workers or peasants and then plops out a lot of genetically pure offspring, representing the genetic purity of the hive and ensuring the continuation of the species or race and so on, blah, blah. I'm wondering, is it like jury service? Is there a list out there with my name on it? And one day, a letter will drop through my letterbox. Deke Jackson, you have been selected to fuck the Queen. Yes! Or is it a lottery? And if you buy a ticket, you could be the lucky one. It could be you. 5 numbers in your bonus balls. Woohoo! I won! I get to fuck the Queen! Woo! Anyway, I'm only interested because, given the prime breeding stock we expect to get from Her Majesty's womb and the symbolic importance of her quality offspring... I'm looking at Prince Philip and I'm thinking, gee, is that the best we can do? Really? Prince Philip is the best shag we could get for the Queen? Come on, we can do better than that. Now, I'm no oil painting and I'm no spring chicken either, but I'm volunteering. Yep, it's my patriotic duty the way I see it. I'll fuck the Queen, I'll fuck her good. I've plenty of healthy sperm and I'm up for the job. But wait, it's the 21st century. Britain is a multicultural country at ease with its vibrant and diverse population. Or so they say. In fact, I don't believe any of that shit. Britain, in my experience, is full of racist, card-carrying supporters of fascist white royal breeding stock. And I won't believe we're a multicultural society at ease with its vibrant and diverse communities until a long line of ethnic minorities are waiting outside Buckingham Palace to take their shot at inseminating the Queen of our nation. Yeah, let's see the Queen fuck some black people and pop out some cappuccino babies. Or little Asian heirs to the throne. How about a nice Chinese dick, Your Majesty, or a big black of West Indian origin. When Her Majesty's lying back taking beef injections from anything but white, aristocratic, blue-blood, inbred throwbacks, I'll believe in multiculturalism. Till then, she represents the breeding of white supremacy, privilege, fascism, and elite rule over a compliant mass of morons who want to sniff her pussy juice or suck the dick of her successor forever and ever and ever. You want it. You fought and died for it, and you deserve it. Thanks, and now the weather. It's going to rain monarchy till you're sick of them and chop their heads off like the French. Get it? Rain? Oh, never mind. Have a nice weekend!
And let's remain for a while on the Royal Inbreeding Programme.
Oh, I'm sorry we're late. There was heavy traffic on the M4. A lorry frightened Camilla and she nearly bolted. Oh, lovely to meet you. How do you do? How do you do? Nice chain. If I pull it, do you flush? Oh, hello, Mother. How are you? Lovely to see you. Oh, look, one black glove. Are you mourning Michael Jackson? I just don't understand what you're doing here, Mother. I thought you were opening a leisure centre in Wales. I thought you'd taken the Daimler. I'd cut the brake cable. What have I done? Face it, I'm never going to be king. What a waste. Think of all the things I could have done. Lawyer, architect, lap dancer. She hasn't got a grey hair on her head. Oh, I wish you'd take off that bloody barrister's wig. Maybe if I just fell on her, I could make it look like an accident. Oh, did I say that out loud? I think he's talking about me.
Well, here you are, Charles. Just a little something in recognition of, whatever it is you do.
Oh, thank you very much, Mother. Excuse me, I haven't brought a hanky. Look, an iPod Touch. Yes, exactly what I wanted.
We are the royal family, my friends. And we'll keep on ruling till the end. We are the monarchy. We are the highest sensitive times for the elder step. We are the rulers of Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland and the Crown Protectorates and Colonies, but probably not ceded to us. We are the royal family, my friend.
I am young, I'm free, I won't fight for no country. War ain't the place I'll be. I am a pacifist. I'll play games on my TV. Headshots on the enemy. And I will tell you passionately, I am a pacifist. I am a pacifist. I'd be a Che Guevara t-shirt wearer if it made me look attractive. I'd be a union fighter, radical striker, but I'd risk being active, so I'll stay passive. Burn coal till it don't rain. Dig the hole, don't take the blame. 'Cause you know I won't complain. I am a pacifist. Log the trees till they're no more. What did we ever need them for? God's design, evolution's law. I am a pacifist. I am a pacifist. I'd be a vegan agitator, animal liberator, if I could still be meek and subdued. I'd be a frontline reporter on war-torn slaughter, but I'd risk being taken captive, so I'll stay passive. I know the commons is being sold, but I don't like to get involved in those problems I can't solve. I am a pacifist. I'd fly the flag for apathy, but I just turned on my TV. It all sucks, that's okay with me. I am a pacifist. I am a pacifist. I am a pacifist.
You heard Nicholas Miller with Pacifist. Now let's move on to some serious issues such as the mining mania around here in Australia, the fast economic lane. Well, we all will pay the environmental price, but that's the only economic lane providing substantial profits for this country. So let's not kid ourselves here. We all have financial support from it, and most of us are too far from the locations, too far in our heads from the issue, or too disempowered, as the indigenous population experiences it right now and for the last 224 years to change this. The Aboriginal people are directly hit with displacement, government interventions, and industry lobbying and gnawing at the native title legislation to water it down so as to legally continue the rip-off. You know, when I hear a well-meaning white minister wanting to help the Aboriginal people with anything, I get the creeps. As I understand it, their way of life is completely incompatible with modern Australia, if they wish to remain the people they were. So, to come here from a white government with the idea of integration, no matter how sensitive on cultural issues, is just plain nonsense, and at best, an ill-fated attempt to brainwash the folks around. Hang on, I'm not finished. I may mention the resurgence of the global uranium lobby. In Europe and in Japan, a reversal of the recent nuclear phase-out policy is demanded, while here, white and indigenous people are protesting against the development of new uranium mines and a waste disposal site construction. A final resting place sort of kind, huh?
Traditional owners from the Tennant Creek region have taken their fight against a nuclear waste dump to Darwin. They want the public to support a legal challenge to the Northern Land Council's nomination of Muckaty Station as Australia's nuclear waste facility. Rick Hind reports.
Who is a traditional owner of Muckaty Station?
Well, it's Five Glen. Ngapa. It's not for one, but for everybody.
That's the question for the Federal Court as it considers the Northern Land Council's nomination of Muckaty as the national nuclear waste dump, with the consent of one group of Ngapa traditional owners.
It seems an extreme view to me that only one subgroup of one clan could be the exclusive owners.
Bunny Naparula led a march against the dump in Tennant Creek. She's taken her plea for help to a public meeting in Darwin.
We are worried about our country. Right? Please, can you listen to us?
They don't want the nuclear waste dump or the trucks going through there. One spill can kill our beautiful country.
Unions also fear a spill, pointing to the train derailment near Katherine last Christmas.
If we had one container of nuclear waste on that train when it derailed, we would have to use virtually every single firefighter of the Northern Territory.
Environmentalists argue there's no urgent need to move spent fuel rods from the Lucas Heights reactor south of Sydney.
They're building increased storage capacity at Lucas Heights to look after this spent fuel waste. So for the short to medium term, that's the simple solution. Leave it at Lucas Heights and leave the Northern Territory alone.
The other element of the federal case is how much traditional owners knew when they consented to the dump 5 years ago.
Didn't my family really understand what radiation is and can do? To this day, I believe that most of them don't.
The next federal court date is in late June, and the law firm hopes for a full hearing this year.
I just want to acknowledge my Larrakia ancestors and elders and the TOs for this country. Bungie, Bunny, I've met so many amazing people on this campaign. It's one of the good things that's happened from being on this, is meeting all these mob from here and standing strong. One thing I wanted to say about the Northern Land Council and to the NT government and the federal government, you know they are ripping us off. You know you have influence over them. Larrakia are suffering under the Northern Land Council. Mataranka TOs are suffering under the Northern Land Council. Jarwin TOs are suffering under the Northern Land Council. If you continue to make deals with the Northern Land Council without looking into the facts, then you will continue to ostracise our people, and I think the Land Council is going to have to go down pretty soon.
Well, let's just ask this one question. How long is this waste station going to have to last? And be communicable to the human in the future? Answer: approximately 1 to several million years. Well, that's not short-term, not short-term at all. So the next question arises, how do you communicate the fact of a dangerous site for 1 to several million years of continuation to our, you know, kiddies, great kiddies, and mankind in the future? Answer: well, it has to be much better than the Egyptian symbols, aged about 5,000 years and we don't know a bit of it, and even the wall paintings and caves going back several tens of thousands of years, we don't understand that stuff. In short, the time frame for such a depository is completely wacko. Yeah, very few people are pointing this out. Except for the producers of Onkolo and a Finnish waste disposal project, by the way, are just asking this in the beginning of the very smart documentary video, well worth watching, guys, Onkolo, spelled as O-N-K-O-L-O-W, and it's available on YouTube. Check it out. Folks, Ray Bradbury, writer and filmmaker and God knows what else he did, well, he passed away recently, and for some cosmic reason I stumbled upon one of his sci-fi movies from a discount box of cheap DVDs last week. Most attributes to his passing were for his novel called Fahrenheit 451 and some futuristic concepts in writing and filming. The DVD I bought is called Sound of Thunder, where a world in 2055 is depicted. Most higher animals and many plants have gone extinct. How this happened is not elaborated upon. The profitable time travel adventure hunting dinosaurs 65 million years ago forms one side of the story. Then there is the unprofitable science side of the tale. In short, the introduction could as well have told the reality we have experienced during the industrial age. Species are going extinct at alarming rates caused by our human expansion. Climate change will do the rest of total species extinction, and it could be even earlier than 2055. Who knows? Maybe 2004, when the movie was made, was just too early for a realistic intro with all these very well-paid climate change deniers around.
Guests are asking for you.
I'll be finished in a few minutes.
When I say guests, it's a euphemism. I mean clients, as in people who pay. If I remember correctly from business school, clients keep us waiting, not the other way around.
Oh, I'm almost done.
I don't think you're catching my drift. You work here so you can study your city animals who don't exist anymore. I work here so I can grow rich and fat and own everything that does happen to exist. I hired you because you're this big deal scientist and the clients pay more for a big deal anything that makes them feel important. Rotten. I know. But then progress is a wrong business, which is why you have to go out there and mingle with them. They pay, you study, I get rich. Is this a great country or what? By the way, did I mention you signed a contract and you have to do this? I don't remember if I did.
And now, the issues which didn't make it into the last episode, and actually, why not? Issue number 2. Drone kill list authority exclusively with the White House. In normal English, it means Obama's mob have a paper saying they can kill anyone they like, anywhere in the world, at any time they like. I dumped this because it's only a piece of paper confirming a US policy enacted since the First World War, even earlier for all we, the rest of the world, know. It is safe to assume the only newsworthiness of a nation of gun-toting weirdos is that we know this for a long time. Issue number 1. Syria's civil war. It is a region of uncivilized violence in a larger region of uncivilized violence created by and maintained by Israel, the US, Russia and China. We also know this. And since Donald Rumsfeld smashed Iraq in 2003, we know they have successfully destabilized the whole region of angry countries for the salacious profits to be made and yet to come for a long time. Thanks Donald, Dick, George and Mr. Obama. Well, well, I dumped it. Because it's not civil and befitting for a Nobel Peace Prize awarded president. Too early to ruin your re-election, Mr. Obama. And of course, all the other issues not dealt with can be found on Fox, CNN, CBC, BBC, ABC and their clone companies. That were the issues which didn't make it into the show, and why not?
Radio.
Details of this show and other shows of the Kaput X Radio series can be found at radioforall.net.